Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another week. It's been obviously a week or so off, and my God, it's felt incredibly long. So let's get right on to it. Obviously, alongside me today are
Ron, Mark,
and yeah. So first game, Manchester United versus Arsenal at Old Trafford. I actually thought we played decent. I thought we played really well.
We were the best team. So you know. Stats don't lie. They had one shot on target. It was in the 89th minute, and they scored. Fair play to them. But yeah, I mean, look, it was always there's always these kind of games between Wenger and Mourinho.
Right.
He knows how to shut us down.
He definitely knows how to shut us down. I think the fact that when I saw that Carrick and Herrera and Pogba were going to be the three in the middle. Rashford straight through the middle. Obviously, Ibrahimovic suspended for that game.
Right.
We just looked so good. Mata drifting in, doing what he does. He was brilliant on Saturday.
Your mic's not working, bud.
So, yeah, I mean, look, Mata was brilliant. Herrera was different class. And Michael Carrick doing what Michael Carrick does.
Yeah.
Still need more from Paul Pogba. So, you know, in flurries, playing at the top of the diamond looked good, but it's in flurries, and he kind of just switches it on and switches it off. A great goal from Mata, great feed from Herrera, brilliant. Dealt with the throw in from Valencia really well, and great through run from Herrera, pulls it back, and Mata just smashes it in the bottom corner. Slightly disappointed the way we conceded the Giroud goal. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain's just gone past Rashford like he wasn't even there, and that, you know, Rashford not known for his defensive qualities, obviously, but so that's an area of his game that, you know, needs to work. When it's 1-0, the game plan's on. We're in complete control of the game.
Right. I think we just fell asleep.
Switched off, and that shows a lack of experience. But hey, you know what? He'll learn from it, and we'll go on. Still a lot of different things that have to happen for that goal to go in. A great cross from Ox, and Giroud does what Giroud's been doing for, you know, 4 or 5 years. So
what do you make of this handshake business? Is there something behind it? I mean, where did this whole rivalry in terms of, I know obviously Arsenal versus Man United has been hated, you know, Roy Keane back in the day. Where did this rivalry between Mourinho and Wenger come from? Because
his time at Chelsea.
Right. So you think it was the London derby that kind of created
the London derby. For some reason, Wenger just cannot get over the Mourinho hump. The parking of the bus, and you know, Mourinho is not the only coach to do that to us. It happens all the time. If you're an Arsenal fan, you know that.
And we're kind of learning his style is, like you said, park the bus. I don't necessarily agree with it, but again, if you're protecting a goal.
Well, I thought you guys looked good going forward.
We did. We were the stronger team.
I mean, that was a great team goal.
Right.
You could tell that we had had an international break. Something was lethargic about us. The Gunners just did not get into gear. They shut down our bigger names. You know, Sanchez and Ozil had very poor performances, and we were supremely lucky to come in and get a point out of that game. Apparently, Mourinho's looking at it as a defeat, and got a phone call from the legendary Diego Maradona to calm down.
Where did you hear that, though? I mean,
I've seen it all over the press.
You know what? It did actually feel a little bit like a defeat watching it.
Of course it was. If you concede a goal in the 89th minute and that's their only shot on target, it absolutely feels like a defeat. And you know what? United really needed that yesterday to kind of bounce on, put a couple of decent wins together. Again, it feels like a little bit of a step backwards. But look, at the end of the day,
encouraging.
You've got to defend it. The game's 90 minutes plus stoppage time for a reason, and you've got to be switched on. And unfortunately, we weren't, but take nothing away from the header from Giroud. That's what exactly does exactly what it says on the tin when you bring him off the bench. I mean, that's
right,
what he does.
And he's good on the head as well.
He's been a super sub for us this year, and I don't think he's happy with his.
And
role.
In the air, he's dangerous. We should have been, you know,
always has been. But right. Look, when you talk about like the international break and stuff, I think you only have to look at the performances from all the matches this weekend, especially featuring like the top 6, 7, 8 teams. That there was a lot of the football wasn't as intense as it has been in recent weeks, and I think you can only put that down to the amount of like thousands of miles some of these players are traveling.
Well, Alexis Sanchez had a 15-hour plane flight back from Chile to London.
Yeah, I mean,
and he wasn't even supposed to play in the Chile games. He was nursing a hamstring, but scored two bangers on Tuesday night against Uruguay, and it's hard to keep someone like that out of the team in such a big game.
Right. All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. You can get in contact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench, or if you want to call us, 434-284-9470. Let us know your thoughts. All right, so let's move on to another game. Watford versus Leicester City. Talk about team goals. That first goal within the first minute, I think it was 24 seconds?
34
seconds.
Yeah.
Beautiful ball in, comes off the head of Troy Deeney, just nudges it forward in the box. And then off the volley straight into the top. I think it was like top left.
Yeah, he smashes it.
Yeah, I couldn't even see it go in.
Take it from the kickoff, right? You've got Danny Drinkwater, who's virtually on like autopilot. You had three players out, kind of defending the left side as Watford are attacking, and Pereira had an absolute stunning game. First half, he was by far the best player on the pitch. Basically, just pulls away from three Leicester midfielders. And the right back puts in a great ball, like you said, Deeney flick on, Etienne Compou smashes it into the ground, flies in top corner. Fantastic start for Watford, but they didn't kind of rest there. Pereira again cutting in off the left, an absolute goal of the weekend for me. Absolutely curler, peach into the top corner.
Kind of reminded me of like Coutinho, kind of like that type of shot from the outside of the box.
Yeah, it was great. Great finish, great start for them. But look, 2 minutes later, Leicester are back in it. So that's after like 12, 13 minutes. 2 minutes later, Leicester are back in.
With a real careless penalty, I think.
Yeah, Britos is a bit of a clumsy defender at the best of times. And especially when you're up against someone who's quick as Vardy. He's got, you know, not only is he quick, Vardy, he's got a couple of yards head start in his head as well. So makes that little flick. He knows the contact's coming, goes down, and Mahrez dispatches the penalty. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and Leicester had a few chances, not too much, but Watford defended really, really well and showed great discipline, great commitment to the cause, and by the end of it, thoroughly deserved 3 points, and that's a great win for them, having the champions come to town. I know they're on a bit of a sticky patch right now, but you've still got to beat the players that are in front of you, and that's exactly what they did. So, fair play to Watford.
So, remember, at the start of the season, you mentioned about Leicester City playing really poorly in the Premier League, but doing really well in the Champions League. Is that what's happening now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand that. I think, yeah, Champions League, you put as much effort into that as you want. I don't think they'll win it. You were saying that?
Got to be in it to win it. And the thing is, they're in it. They've got, what have they got now? 10 points from 4 games? I mean, that's...
It's a pretty risky strategy, though, if they lose and get booted out.
Doesn't matter. They're loving it. They're loving it. I'd be the same way as well. If I was Ranieri, I'd be the same way. Nobody in their wildest dreams could have thought that Leicester City would get in the Champions League. You're there. Might take another 40 years to get back there. Absolutely right. Lap it up and go for the biggest competition in football history. So, yeah, fair play to them.
All right, guys, moving on to the next game, Stadium of Light, Sunderland versus Hull City. This was a great result for Sunderland. Great result.
Stadium of No Light, the lights actually went out during the match.
It's like I think it was like a 10-15 minute delay at the start of the second half. But anybody who hasn't seen the highlights of this game, just go and look at 34-year-old Jermaine Defoe doing what he's done for like literally 15 years. Just picks the ball up. He has no right to even get in the box from there. Does 3 defenders and gets in, and then be able to actually finish that left-footed under the keeper. Thought their Hull City keeper was actually pretty poor. But yeah, Jermaine Defoe on 34 minutes, really good finish. Hull City had their chances in the first half, but, you know, just that lack of quality that you need in the final third, especially at this level, was just severely lacking. And then you've got Anichibi, who I've bad-mouthed for God knows how many years, at not being able to put back-to-back good performances in. And, you know, prove me wrong this weekend. Scores two really good finishes, question marks over the goalkeeper. But, yeah, I mean, really good stuff from him, showing great pace, great power, yeah. Linking up really well with Defoe. Got his two goals. That's only the second time in Premier League history he's been able to put two goals together in two games. So, right. Like, back-to-back games with a goal. Second time in Premier League history. He's a striker. That's why people are so frustrated about him, because he should give you so much more than that, but doesn't. Right. But another thing about this game as well, it could have easily have been 3-3 if it wasn't for just one of the best young goalkeepers I've seen in absolute ages, Jordan Pickford. Absolutely brilliant. Came up with like two worldies and really solid, really solid goalkeeper for an 18-year-old. Just fantastic. So he's definitely one to watch. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what he does in the future. But yeah, again, 12th game, innit? They won last week. They're 11. Right. They won the 12th.
If they played like this from day one,
you know, they have this thing. Like we said, they don't win in the first 10 games. They might as well start the season and give everybody 30 points. Like if I was a manager of Sunderland, I'd be like, right, we've got to overcome 30 points here. That's 10 games. That's 3 points every team except us. And then start really working at it to really get flying. Because they're just not doing it at the start. And it's a shame because they've got some great fans, great stadium. They do have... You know, it's so strange that like their last two games, they've put a team out that looked committed for the cause and working for the manager and working for the football club.
Banging them in.
It's been absolute night and day contrast from the first 10 games to the last two. So fair play to them.
I mean... With Sunderland, they've moved up now. They're not in the bottom spot. They're in 19th, I believe, now. But they're one of those teams that just frustrates me. They should be...
Can you imagine being a supporter of them, though? You'd just be, like, pulling your hair out every day at work, wouldn't you?
Your season starts around Christmas.
It's just...
All right, guys, next result. At the Bet365 Stadium. 365 Stadium. Stoke versus Bournemouth.
What a weird game this was.
Yeah.
Fair play to Bournemouth. Nathan Aki getting his first goal for them. Look, big thing on this one was obviously the Bojan penalty miss.
Just rattled the bar.
Just smashes the bar, yeah. But fair play to Bournemouth. That's a great result. 1-0 away at Stoke. Really, really good. Eddie Howe getting a bit of stability. They've been a bit rocky this last month or so. I don't think October was a very good month for them. They looked good. They created a lot of chances. They probably should have had a penalty. Wilson getting hauled down in the first half. But, no, fair play. They defended really well in the last 20, 25 minutes. So
Stoke might be in trouble. It seems as if Joe Allen's going to be out for a while.
Right. Yeah, and they tried something yesterday in the last kind of quarter of the game where they try to play Shaqiri a little narrow and have him break into the box and stuff, and he actually had a really good chance right at the end and just kind of hashed his shot, skews it into the ground and it goes high and wide. But yeah, I don't think he's definitely not an inside player. I think you've got to play him wide and have him feeding off Arnautovic a little bit more and Bojan playing a little bit more at the tip of the diamond. But yeah, Stoke will be all right. Every team, those kind of teams that are in the middle, they're in the middle because they have these off days. They have days like this. That's why they're there. But hey, look, because you got to think, there's not many Stoke players that probably had international breaks. There's a few. Same with Bournemouth. So,
and if they are, they're probably on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, look, to be fair, you can't take anything away from Bournemouth. They went to Stoke, tough place to go, got a 1-0 victory, back on the bus, back down south, job done. Thanks very much.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us either on facebook.com/blokesonthebench, or if you want to call us directly, 434-284-9470. Let us know your thoughts on this weekend of Premier League results. Next game, pretty disappointing, St. Mary's Stadium. I honestly thought Liverpool would keep their momentum going. Hasn't really... they're not in first spot now. They're in second. So let's put things in perspective. But I was hoping for a result of this. But fair play to Southampton.
This is your classic after the international break. You have players like Coutinho, Firmino, Emre Can, Lallana, Mane. I mean, the list goes on and on. Henderson. It's virtually every single player in that team was on international duty. You had Firmino and Coutinho travelled something ridiculous.
All the way to Brazil.
10,000-mile, round trip to go and play. I mean, it takes a lot out of you. But the big thing about... Yes, there's a couple of factors yesterday that I kind of saw... When I saw the team sheet, and I kind of felt like it was going to be... Only one goal was going to win it. Only one goal was going to be scored. But unfortunately, no goals were scored.
Firmino almost scored.
It really poured.
Flashed it wide.
Finishing yesterday was really, really poor. They didn't have their shooting boots on. It was absolutely lashing down with rain from minute one all the way through the game. Really tough conditions. Charlie Austin had a couple of really good chances for Southampton. But Liverpool, they created some... They were a little bit slow, a little bit pedestrian, when usually they have that high intensity that we've been speaking about in recent weeks. I think they really miss Lallana. He's out with a groin injury that he got on international duty. And just him, he's really unorthodox attacking midfielder, Lallana, because he just drifts everywhere and in a blink of an eye, turns it on, puts a little pass through. And I felt like they really missed Lallana yesterday. Nobody had their shooting boots on. Emre Can skewing balls wide of the post. Coutinho. One thing I do want to mention, though, is that I guarantee that some big clubs will come in. Big clubs that want a centre-back or a couple of centre-backs, central defenders, this January. Virgil van Dijk and Font for Southampton were absolutely brilliant yesterday. Brilliant. One of the best defensive partnership performances you'll probably see all season. Really good, really well organised. Two really top class defenders. not really much more to say.
I just find the irony of it that you were saying about how the fact that so many of these players are world class in the Liverpool team and have made up most of their country squad, that can have a negative impact as well.
Well, yeah.
No.
I mean, traveling. Look, we know better than
jet lag.
We know better than anybody. But you take that plane. You just take that plane 3,500 miles across the Atlantic back to England.
Right.
Get there. It takes you a day and a half to really adjust. Imagine landing there, landing in Brazil, having to do a half day of training, do some fitness work, go back out, do another second. Session of training, and then
the
mental preparation for the game is absolutely draining. And then when all that's done and you're like, oh, okay, that's over with, then you have to, it's not like you just go home and sleep for a couple of days and then go back to training with your club. You've then got to make the journey back, then acclimatise to English weather. Not only that, you've got to report to training on the Wednesday. You know what I mean? It all plays a huge factor. But I think Klopp put it best in his post-match. He was like, look, wasn't pretty, wasn't the best performance we've ever had, it certainly wasn't the worst, it's not the best day we'll ever have at this football club, and it certainly won't be the worst. So take your point, it's away at St. Mary's, tough place to go, especially with all the travelling that their players have done. So yeah, fair play to them.
Alright guys, time for a break and a word from our sponsors. Alright guys, welcome right back to Blokes on the Bench. Alright Ryan.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to take this moment to give a bit of a shout-out to the Leeds United fans and the Newcastle fans from today's game in the Championship. I know it's not really something we cover, but for those of you who know that Gary Speed passed away a few years back and played, obviously, for both clubs.
Wheels manager as well.
Yeah,
right.
And some really great scenes before the game, during the game, and after the game. Kind of the result was irrelevant by the end of it. I think that was just a huge celebration of what that guy had done for both clubs. So just wanted to take a second and throw that out. I know it's like in the championship, like I said, yeah. but for Gary Speed and his family, it's just a nice touch, and it's good to see that, you know,
it hasn't been forgotten.
And especially as, you know, as excited and, you know, how business kind of way that the game's gone, right. that they take a moment where, yeah, it's all irrelevant.
But do you remember growing up, when I was at primary school, this must have been like 92, 93, showing my age there, but everyone I knew was a Leeds fan, and all of them had Gary Speed shirts.
Everybody. He was an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Great midfielder. I think he's in the top five of like the most appearances in Premier League history. Every club, every manager he ever played for, saying nothing but good things about him. Just it was a sad day when we learned that he passed away, but it was so good to see, you know, because obviously Newcastle and Leeds hadn't played each other since, because obviously Newcastle were in the Prem and Leeds obviously
back in the
looking
day.
To get back.
Blackburn but, and everyone else was in it.
Yeah, so, you know, just wanted to throw that out. And Leeds, obviously a massive rival of Man United back in the day, and they like to think they still are. But
hopefully one day they'll come back, because I know they have financial really problems as well.
They're it's really good to see, so fair play to them.
It would be nice to see Leeds back in the top
five. Yeah, it would be. And Blackburn, remember them?
Yeah.
Last year? Yeah, back in the day. All right, so back to the Premier League again. Goodison Park, Everton versus Swansea.
This was... It's actually not a bad game, but again, Swansea City, just you've got it in your hands. Just get over the finish line, give your manager the 3 points he's looking for, and roll on. He must be so frustrated. More frustrated. I know he's had a couple of draws since he's taken the position, and this is the third one, I think, Bob Bradley. Yeah. But got to be so frustrated at your players on this one.
Because when I think of games like this, I think of corner-to-corner action. Two teams that are level, should be level anyway. I know Swansea are sitting at the bottom, but they should really be mid-table.
Everton's look good this year.
I know. Well, yeah. They should be fighting each other, you know. But, yeah, like you said, it was a little bit disappointing.
What do we think Bob Bradley does in January? You think they give him any money to bring anybody in?
I think you have to give him a little bit, but January's not for a team like Swansea. If they can bring in, they don't need any money. If they can bring in three decent loan acquisitions to the end of the season, I think they'll be all right. But they have to do something. They have to really now take this next 6 weeks to really kind of pin down, okay, who do we want? Who's out of favor at Arsenal? Who's young at Arsenal? Who could
Giroud would be
from?
Great at Swansea.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But
I actually think this January window could be one of the most profitable for people selling, because I reckon apart from maybe Liverpool and Chelsea, I think a lot of clubs are going to be banned this January, including us. I think Man United are going to...
We might bring...
You're getting somebody.
We might bring one person in, but I can see us offloading a few on loan. I could see if the turmoil at United with the likes of Luke Shaw and Chris Smalling and Mkhitaryan and that. Those are some players that you could see. Maybe Jose thinks, you know what, Mkhitaryan, go to Swansea for the last 5 months of the season and get some game time, get some fitness, go da 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 da.
He could be dangerous if we used him. Remember that first game we watched him where he just plowed through people? I don't know what happened to him. He just drifted off.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
And I'm not sure if it's the fact of his fitness or something's going on between him and Mourinho.
Probably the latter.
Yeah, but sometimes a lot of that, with those type of players that come, they're not used to the English culture, they're not used to the Premier League, the pace of it and stuff like that. And you know what, you only need a little... When you make such a big move like that, you only need a little bit of disruption behind the scenes, family-wise, or
you think that was like Di Maria,
that it really unsettles you, and you don't really love turning up for training, and you don't really love putting the jersey on and going out there on a Saturday, which sounds ridiculous, but
and the weather as well,
Yeah, I mean, it all plays a factor.
Yeah,
it must.
Players got to be happy.
I think, like I said, Di Maria, he played for us, what was it, 2014-2015 season, I believe?
Yeah. He was awful.
Yeah, and Southgate burgled, around Christmas time, and that was it.
Yeah. All right, so that's just let's just sew up this Swansea.
Yeah.
So you had Sigurdsson score the penalty. Really good penalty. Good player.
He's looking good this year.
Yeah, and then you have in the 89th minute, Seamus Coleman with a really weird header. Kind of loops over Fabianski. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Swans could have done a lot more. They didn't defend well in that last 10 minutes, so you could kind of see it come in.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us on Facebook at facebook.com/blokesonthebench or hit us up on the horn and blower, 434-284-9470. Let us know your thoughts and opinions on a weekend of action. Obviously, long-awaited back. All right, so Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace versus Man City.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you talk about Pep Guardiola obviously gone into rotation mode. This is the time of year that he kind of does that. So you had Clichy, I think Navas and John Stones didn't even travel to London for this game. You had starts for Vincent Kompany at the back. And obviously the first start for Yaya Toure since August. Comes back into the team, scores both the goals. Yeah, I mean, look, you had Kompany go off, actually, and it wasn't your typical Kompany injury. Look, he took a clash with Bravo and punched
him. He got Bravo's hip right to the head.
And then he kind of headed a few balls after that and just couldn't get his vision set, so he came off. But yeah, no, I tell you, I really fancied Crystal Palace in this game. They played really well. Punchin was fantastic. Brilliant. And Zaha had collar off like all over the place. They looked really good. Benteke had a golden opportunity header, but he heads it straight at Bravo. Bravo parries it. Zaha misses the rebound. Connor Wickham with a decent finish. I think that's 2-2 for Connor, so that'll do well for his.
So if you're Alan Pardew,
yeah, but they've lost the four on the bounce now.
Five.
If you're Alan Pardew, what are you telling your guys?
I don't know. He said after the game, like, you know, they're in there and they're angry because they've got all the talents in the room. On paper, they're really
Liverpool.
Good. Really good.
They do have a solid team. You got Johan Gabay, you got Zaha, you got Benteke, Connor Wickham's a decent player. I think the problems they have are most likely at the back.
Defending. And it's the same with, you know what? It's the same with all these middle-run teams that you look at. So your Everton's, yeah, not so much Everton, but your Palace, your, I'm going to throw Sunderland in there, your Stokes, stuff like that. They can't go out and buy a 20, 25 million pound centre-back. That's just an absolute no-no. Like, they just can't do it. So their defences, they are good on paper, but, you know, like I look at Crystal Palace team sheet yesterday, and I think it was, maybe it was Delaney, was unfit, so he couldn't start, so they bring in Sam Tompkins. Sam Tompkins, he's a good defender, but he's come from West Ham to Crystal Palace. In my opinion, if you can't get in the West Ham side, you're not really in the Palace side.
You're same level.
Yeah, it's one of those. And that's the thing. Those middle teams, the reason they're in the middle is because they concede too many goals. And you look at the goals they conceded yesterday. Three mistakes in that first Toure goal. I think it was... can't remember who it was now, but he just gives the ball straight to De Bruyne. He had three opportunities to clear the ball, they did. They had three opportunities to clear the ball, but they didn't. Kabay passes it back behind someone else. Might have been Delaney, actually, so that my last statement was false, but one of the defenders was injured anyway. But give the ball away, and Toure's shot deflects and goes in past Hennessy. Hennessy back for the first game in like 3 months. He's been out injured.
He's a pretty solid goalkeeper.
He's all right, yeah, not too bad. He has his moments, but again, middle of the run kind of team. That's kind of the way they roll. And then they score in the 83rd minute to nick a 2-1. And again, it showed Palace were actually like really quite intense in the game. Maybe had three players on international break, whereas obviously City had a lot of players on international break and were a little bit lackluster, pedestrian at times.
Yeah.
But you know what? Got the win. That's what you do when you win. That's how you win titles.
Do you think Yaya got the start due to those reasons of being on an international break? Because that was kind of a surprise selection, wasn't it?
Look, it all culminates and it all comes together. He knows he has to rest certain players when they've been traveling as far as they have. You've got somebody who's obviously for the past 6 to 8 weeks has been working on his fitness because that's something that was told to him.
You're and you can see it.
You're not working hard. If you want to earn your $330,000 a week, guess what? You're going to work for it. That's your job. And to be fair, and he's a good guy, Yaya Toure. And even Pep said that after. He said, I want you to know that he said it like this, I want you to know that he is a very, very good guy. Very nice guy. The team love him. He loves his team. And it was kind of a subtle dig that the man himself is a very, very nice guy. Unfortunately, the person that represents him is a complete you-know-what.
Yeah.
So it was like...
Plonker.
So apparently the agent refused to apologize to Pep Guardiola. This is what this whole saga has been about. So Yaya Toure went against his agent's kind of thing and went to Pep and said, I want to apologize on behalf of the people that represent me because I'm a Manchester City footballer. I want to play football. I'm here. I'm ready for selection if you have me. And in the end, he decided that his weight was good, his fitness was good, and put him in the team. And it kind of worked perfectly with coming back after the international break. And it's going to do his confidence the world of good, Yaya Toure. Scoring 2 goals on your return. You can only have to see the reaction of his teammates when he scores, how much they love him and want him in the team. And he was actually playing higher in the diamond as well. So he's much more...
He can do that.
Much more influential. He actually looked hungry. You know, last season, he must have covered the least amount of ground of any Premier League footballer on the planet. I mean... just wandered around the centre circle. So right. Yesterday, it was good to see. It was good to see him apply himself and earn some of that money that he gets paid. So, well, fair play to him. Fair play to City. You know, to win the league, you got to win scrappy games like that when it's 1-1 with 10 minutes to go. And they did it. So, fair play.
All right, so moving on to the next game. White Hart Lane, Spurs versus West Ham.
Finished 3-2. Sounds like an absolute brilliant game. Some of the poorest football you're going to see this season.
Yeah,
really pedestrian. Both sides just really poor.
Kane scoring two goals within about 2 minutes of time.
Coming on. Was his first goal?
Yeah, it was his first goal.
Could be the tale of two Harrys.
It was his first goal in his first Premier League appearance, I believe.
Harry Winks.
And he scored, 50th minute or something like that? I'm telling you, I'd have brought him off at halftime. He wasn't very good in the first half. Right. Wasn't that impressed. And then, but okay, so he scores a tap-in. After Antonio scored a really good header. You have to see this.
It was good.
Because they've rattled the crossbar, it's come around, and if he hadn't have made the run to head it in, it would have been given offside. Because I think it was...
Yeah, because whenever...
Whoever was at the back stick was just wandering in an offside position and getting ready to nod it in, but luckily he busted a gut to get there and get there first.
Because I know Antonio was kind of looking around and the flag didn't go up. He was like, oh yeah, okay,
that's like his sixth goal of the season already. I almost put him
on my fantasy team.
I know he's had one call-up to the England squad. I don't think he got on, or maybe he got on for like 8 minutes, something like that. That's somebody that a bit of raw talent, come into the England squad, stick him on the right-hand side, or stick him out left if you want, where nobody seems to be able to play for England, and stick him out there, see what
Danny
he does.
Danny Rose.
Go. Brilliant. I like him a lot, because he's a powerhouse. He's a bit like Emi Oheski, but the boy can score goals, so fair play. I'm excited about that. And then you add, like you said, Harry Kane getting a tap in. So at that point it's 1-1. And then you have Lanzini score the penalty. Janssen's season's just going from bad to worse.
Bad.
Gives away the penalty. He's offside about 14 times in the game. But what was really poor, Spurs are renowned for getting in behind, playing that ball in behind for Harry Kane, Son. Son didn't start. They played Janssen instead.
He was the difference maker.
When Janssen gave away the penalty, Lanzini scores, it's 2-1. They bring off Janssen just because he's an absolute pile. And then bring on Son. And Son's on the pitch for 18 minutes? And every single time...
Everything's going through
him. Newcastle. Spurs get the ball in the final third. Son is making a run in behind. He sets up Harry Kane's first goal, Randall, the goalkeeper, who's a very good goalkeeper.
Was he the one fouled for the second goal?
And he was the one that... No, he was... The second goal was he got to the byline, pulls it back, Randolph gets a hand to it, powers it straight to Harry Kane, 88th minute, tap in for Harry Kane. He doesn't miss those. And literally 2 minutes later, Son again, in behind. Terrible decision by the defender to
slide in. Oh my God, that was awful.
Just stay on your feet. What are you doing? And his trailing leg, Son... Absolute genius, because if you watch it in slow-mo, Son pulls the ball back, sees he's sliding in, so just puts his foot on the ground and just stops. Guy comes in, his trailing leg sweeps Son, Son goes over. Penalty, absolute stonewall penalty, but genius from Son, because you watch it in slow-mo, he sees it coming in, he sees what's happening. So now he just stands his ground, waits for the contact. Penalty, and Harry Kane's not going to miss in the 91st minute to win the game at the lane. Harry Kane! So, yeah. And
that was a pretty ballsy penalty, too.
Yeah. Couple of steps, wasn't it?
Couple of steps.
You think Spurs are now back in it again? Because they
Spurs haven't been out of it.
They're the only team undefeated. They had a terrible October where they picked up, win in the first week of October, and then they've had a string of draws. But, I'm telling you, that's that right there. Being 2-1 down in the 88th minute, and not just nicking a goal for a draw... But turning that into a win, you only had to see Harry Kane scores in the 88th minute, tap in. First thing he does is grab the ball and run back to the center circle.
They're known for being able to score goals quickly. Brilliant. I mean, Spurs can hit you very hard, very quickly.
That might be one of the talking points that we talk about come the end of this season, come May, when it's all said and done. This might be a game that we talk about. That's all I'm going to say. They're the only undefeated team in the league, so fair play to them.
Yeah,
6 wins, 6 draws.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So today, was it the only game that was on today?
Yes.
The only game, mate. Yeah.
Chelsea versus.
And we got one. We got one more tomorrow.
Yeah, we do, and I do have that in the fixtures list. We'll get to that. Chelsea versus Middlesbrough at the Riverside Stadium. 1-0 to Chelsea. Diego Costa, 41st minute.
That new system for Chelsea is looking great.
Working wonders, isn't it?
It is working wonders. I don't think anyone in England really knows how to deal with it. You know, Conte bringing his Italian job, you know. Victor Moses looks great in that system, as you saw today.
And that's amazing to say. It's amazing for me.
To be a deep-lying winger now. And I think it's a similar system as to what Van Gaal was trying to do the last couple of years at United, but just maybe the personnel wasn't right. But yeah. Conte has hit it on the head.
I like watching
Chelsea now.
He's figured it out.
It really started when they played us. Played Man United.
Yeah, but I think, I think with Conte there is, yes, he's figured it out, but once it starts wavering a little bit, we've already seen glimpses of his, like, plan B, plan C, that I don't think they get a lot out of their players. So it would just be interesting that, if some teams can actually kind of figure out what's going on, I think a lot of people may have to actually...
adjust.
Yeah, I think actually the way to go about it is actually play 4-4-2 and give up your man in the midfield.
Mm. And just go after him.
And I think you play a little bit counter-attacky, but not with the one person up front. And I think you have to play 4-4-2. But the modern game, that's not what you do. And I think he's kind of figured that out, that people want to play that one man up front or that 4-3-3 or that 3-5-2.
He seemed to have cleaned Costa up too.
Yeah. All right, guys, the time is now 6:40. Welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. All right, so, table how it looks right now. Okay, so Chelsea are in top spot on 28 points. Liverpool in 27. Man City in 27. Arsenal
same
in
goal differential.
Yeah, Arsenal 25th. 25 goals even, let me talk points even. Tottenham on 24. Manchester United 19. Everton 19. Watford 18. Bournemouth on 15. And then a number 10 spot... Southampton on 14.
Yeah, I think the thing about that, like just reading those off there, is, you know, as a United fan, and obviously you're a United boy too, is the fact that that gap's already starting to form between, like, the top five. So it's, I don't know, that's quite worrying. And I think, you know, yes, that's what makes yesterday even more frustrating, the fact that, you know, that we conceded that late goal. And now we have that massive gap between, you know, kind of fifth and sixth. That's a 5-point gap right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you have 4 points separating the top five teams, and then 5 points separating fifth to sixth, and we're in sixth. So really disappointing from a Man United's perspective. But,
yeah, I know.
You know, fair play. Nice to see Bournemouth there in ninth
place. Watford are two behind
us. Watford, yeah. Fair play to them.
Ridiculous. All right, so the bottom of the table, Hull City are in 18th. 19th, we have Sunderland. And obviously, 20th, we have Swansea.
Swans are in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because it's usually the impact that's made with a new manager coming on, like the buzz behind it, should have been kind of instant. And I just don't see it. One thing we didn't speak about with the, you know, so you got Hull in 18th and Sunderland in 19th. Yesterday, that was a six-pointer. Six-pointer in the month of November. I mean, that's unheard of. But, you know, the way that their form was going, it was definitely a six-pointer. So that's just, that was crazy to me to see that. But, you know, I actually think Sunderland will put a little bit of a run together. I think Hull are in massive trouble. Swans are in massive trouble. And you know what? I think Palace are gonna go down a little bit, you know, kind of flurry down that table. And I'll tell you, Leicester City are in a battle. Leicester City, can you imagine if Leicester won the Champions League and got relegated in the same year? That would be absolutely...
There's no way around that, is there?
No.
I probably would never watch football again. I wouldn't know what was going to happen. I'd just be done with it.
It's too much to take.
Absolutely mental. But, yeah. I mean... But that's why we love it. It's exciting. You don't really know what's going to happen. So,
all right. Well, talking about an exciting league. Obviously, go to La Liga results. Mark, you have the results there.
Yeah. So, a couple big games this weekend in La Liga. As we've said throughout the show, a lot of players coming back from international break. Similar things kind of happened over there in Spain on the Iberian Peninsula. On Friday, we had Real Betis versus Las Palmas. Betis getting the better of them 2-0. On Saturday, we had Sevilla getting the better of Deportivo. And probably the shocking result of the weekend was Barcelona drawing Malaga. I mean, you look at these two clubs' wage structures. Suarez didn't play, neither did Messi. But they were still unable to get a result. The next game was Eibar 1-0 over Celta Vigo. And then the biggest game of the weekend was the Madrid derby. Ural's former boy, Cristiano Ronaldo, stealing the show.
Hat-trick boy
on that day. And then today we had Espanyol of Barcelona taking over Alaves. Valencia getting a much-needed draw against Granada. Real Sociedad 3-1 over Sporting. And tomorrow there's one more match. It's going to be Leganés versus Osasuna.
Are you saying that... Did Barcelona draw 0-0?
Barcelona did draw 0-0 without Messi and without Suarez.
Wow. All right, so you got the Champions League results?
There are no results.
Oh, sorry, not the results. I'm sorry, the fixtures.
The fixtures
list,
yeah.
First on the
list
is his favorite team.
Oh, CSKA Moscow versus Bayer Leverkusen. Going to be great. I'm never going to live that one down.
Never.
So some of the English teams, Monaco, Tottenham. Tottenham needs to win out, and they need some help in order to go through, surprisingly.
Massive game, and that is not a place that you want to go when you need a result.
No, Monaco is not an easy place to play. Group F, we have Sporting versus Real Madrid, Dortmund versus Legia. Group G, Leicester versus Club Bruges.
Big game for Leicester. I'd like to see them put in a
I think Leicester's going to go through.
Yeah.
I think they'll go through. I think if they haven't gone through already, they're very close on the cusp. And then we have Copenhagen versus Porto. Porto's always a team that can cause some trouble. So you need to stir things up. They normally make it through to the knockout round. Group H, we have Dynamo Zagreb versus Lyon. And then the big game in Group H is going to be Sevilla versus Juve. On the 23rd, Wednesday, my boys playing PSG at the Emirates. It looks like this is going to decide the group.
I'll tell you what, I think, you know what, in recent years we've all seen Arsenal in the Champions League just absolutely destroy a big name in the group stages.
Right.
where they just really turn it on at the Emirates. And
we were
I
lucky fancy, to get a draw in Paris.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say 3-0 Arsenal.
Really? Yeah.
I love you, Ryan.
Against
I never thought I'd say Paris? That. I think they're going to beat them 3-0.
All right. What about the big one I'm thinking of is Celtic versus Barcelona.
Yes, that was the next one I was going to mention. You know, Barcelona, they didn't get it done this weekend. Who knows if Messi or Suarez is going to be back.
And the traveling support
And the traveling support, it might be...
Come on, you boys in green.
Come on, you boys in green. It might be an opportunity there.
Absolutely. And
then also in that group, as you've known, Mönchengladbach versus Man City.
I think Borussia Mönchengladbach are going to win that game. Honestly, yeah. I think it's going to be 2-0.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think it's really going to stir things up a little bit.
And then in Group D, the last fixtures are going to be Rostov versus Bayern, who actually, we probably should have mentioned this earlier in the show, Bayern was beat by Dortmund in the derby on Saturday.
Wow. In the Bundesliga?
In the Bundesliga, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Atletico versus PSV. So I'm pretty sure that Atletico and Bayern have both... booked their tickets to the next stage, so it might be a matter of who finishes above who.
Yeah.
So it's going into match day 5. Look at it. Watch some of the games this week. They're going to be crackers. No one's going to be sitting back. Everyone's going to be going for it to book their tickets to the next round knockout stage.
It's
going to
be one of the better Champions League highlight shows.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the Champions League.
Looking forward to getting off work early one night and catching that show. Fair play.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench, or hit us up on the Horn and Blower, 434-284-9470. All right, you got any UVA results?
I do have the UVA results, but before we go to the UVA results, I just wanted to remind everybody that the games, once again, for Champions League Match Day 5 on Tuesday and Wednesday are going to be kicking off at 2:45.
All of them?
Eastern Standard Time, yes, sir.
Okay. So what are the UVA? Nope.
So we'll start with the men's team. Today they beat Vermont 2-1 in the second round of the NCAA tournament, so... Next game will be the third round. I'm pretty sure it's going to be at Klockner. The team that they're playing is to be announced. The time is probably going to be to be announced. So make sure to check the UVA men's soccer website throughout the week to see.
That game's scheduled for this time next week, right?
Yes. This game will be on the 27th. So... Brush off those turkey and dressings. Take the sweatpants off and go, Blokes on the Bench will try to be there as well, depending on what time the game is at.
We'll probably have some Tupperware as well with some leftover turkey.
Feel free
to approach us. If you see people
see
there
us.
With some Tupperware,
yeah. Just approach three us. United, three Manchester United shirts and one... Hippie wearing a
I'm not a hippie.
Shirt.
Yeah.
So I'm kidding, if you're going to the game, bring some turkey gravy because we might have run out on Thanksgiving.
The hippie ate it all.
All right, and the women's, have you got the women's?
Yes, the women's. So on 11-11, Make-A-Wish versus Monmouth, it was a win 4-1. 11-18-16, a good win over Penn State. But unfortunately, on the 20th, it was a loss to Georgetown. Yes, 20th, yes. Keep forgetting it's almost December. Speaking of December, it's about to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Right.
The time we all want to watch the games, Boxing Day, right. The games after Thanksgiving.
How many games do they play, Ryan? Is it six?
You play...
Tuesday, Wednesday games.
Let me just work this out quick. I think you play 4 times in the space of 8 days.
Oh.
Something like that. And what you've got to look forward to coming up, especially on Boxing Day in England, the 26th, every single team play. I think in this country they put every game on over like the 10 channels, something like that.
Yeah.
And the same on the New Year's Day.
I was actually looking this up. Little fact for you guys. This is what I read online, because I was looking up. Like, even I didn't know what Boxing Day meant, and I celebrated it, or at least had the day off. It was to do with, I guess, the Houses of Parliament back in England, all the members would have little boxes of cash that they saved up during the week, or during the week, during the year, and they would give it out to the homeless.
Yeah, it used
in
to
the
be
boxes.
The day
so that Boxing would... Day, I guess, yeah. That was the you where it, it came from.
And it's on a Monday this year.
Right.
So we hope from everyone at Blokes on the Bench that you might have that day off, or you might not be might not be too hungover to get up and watch the games. But...
So this is a question for you, Ryan. As an expert,
you will have the day off.
No. I'm holding you to that. Okay.
Witness.
So is this the point then? I guess I'll read out the fixtures for next week, the 27th. Yeah. But coming into December, is this where like that the table is going to start spreading out further on? So we're going to see the big boys really kind of tank off.
This is the time of year we're getting right down to the nitty gritty where,
because he's like 28 points, 27 points, 20.
Roll a dice.
It's either going to be those five teams separate themselves from everybody else. The bottom five teams have separated from everybody else. They're in a relegation battle, or what I'm hoping for is that everything comes together. And in an ideal world, you have like 5 points separating the top half of the table and 5 points separating the bottom 10 teams of the table.
Right.
And that's kind of the way it goes. But yeah, this is pretty much where titles are won and lost.
You need to be watching, guys. This is an exciting point.
You know, over that period where you have those four or five games in such quick succession, let's say right. four games, yeah, you're looking for... 10 points out of 12 usually gets the job done.
Right.
And it's going to be really important. It'll show the depth of your squad throughout this period because clearly you're not going to be able to start the same players with this amount of fixtures.
And the what I want to say as well, notoriously, like the Boxing Day game and the New Year's Day game, the Boxing Day game shows you what team at the most. Honestly, it does. Like they go crazy on Christmas Day and then... obviously, can't get the job done on Boxing Day. And on New Year's Day, you find out which teams went to bed early
and which ones will be on the bench, I take it. Like,
Rooney's probably going to sit out on the 26th and the 1st of January. But, it's such an exciting time. It's so good because it's just games galore. Every time you change the channel, there's a game on. It's brilliant. So, we're definitely getting there. But, let's get into next week's fixtures, I guess.
All right. So, well, actually, Monday... Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow, yeah.
West Brom versus Burnley. I'm guessing that's
going to be a 3 o'clock
pick. Go Burnley. I'm going Burnley, 2-0.
Come on, Vogues, I need you.
Burnley play the next game, the very first game on Saturday, the 26th, against Man City.
I'm going to go Burnley 2-0 against West Brom, Burnley 2-0 against Man City. Come on, the Burnley boys.
And then he wakes up and has his cornflakes. And so that was the first game on Saturday. Second game is Hull versus West Brom.
I think I'm going to go Hull for a win.
I think I'm going to go Hull turning around, yeah.
They need to, don't they?
Snodgrass is back, so they have a better chance of winning games now with him in the lineup.
Leicester City versus Middlesbrough. I'm going for a draw.
Nil-nil. That's going to be a good game. Middlesbrough
that's gonna be a really good game.
Has played some of the top teams lately and have scratched out some results. They actually could have equalized today against Chelsea. Gaston Ramirez just blowing it over the bar. But
I mean, Negredo had a great chance today right before Costa scored as well. So, you know what? I think it would be a draw, but it wouldn't surprise me if Middlesbrough
pull one out of the
bag. Yeah, and if they do, Leicester are in big trouble.
All right, so Liverpool versus Sunderland. I mean, Liverpool. I mean,
you say that, but Liverpool drew today. Sunderland 2 on the spin, all the confidence going in. I would love to see
Sunderland win.
If we were kind of predicting this a month ago, you'd go Liverpool 7 or 8 nothing. But I'm telling you, that it could be a surprise result here. Maybe Sunderland not win, but maybe like a 2-2 draw. But it is at Anfield, so you have to give Liverpool maybe the slight edge on that one.
Right.
Definitely the edge.
Swansea versus Crystal Palace.
That's a tough one, too.
Either way... if it ends in a draw...
these are the two managers that
I'll be really disappointed if it ends in a draw, because both managers need a win desperately.
I'd like to see Bob Bradley get a win. American, though.
I would like to see it, too. And plus, that will go very far for my prediction at the start of Pardew getting sacked. But then he kind of turned it around, but now he's on the downhill again. So yeah, no, I want Bradley to get 3 points. They definitely look a little bit better. They're just, you know, sometimes you do need luck in this game. You need a little bit, you need the rub of the green, and they're not getting it at the moment.
Yeah, like an 89th-minute header from Olivier Giroud.
See, I say that, and I think, oh, you've got a thing, but you make your own luck as well in this game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't just be the victim all the time. You got to defend for 95 minutes, and if you don't, you deserve everything you get. But let's hope Bradley gets his 3 points.
All right, Chelsea versus Spurs.
That's definitely the game.
That's whetting the appetite right there.
I could see it. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's either going to be 3-0 to Chelsea, or it's going to be 3-0 to Spurs. It's going to be one or the other. I don't see it being.
No.
Chelsea are either going to prove that they're the real, real deal this year,
or Tottenham exposed the new system.
We're undefeated. We're exactly where it's
at. All right, so we move on to the Sunday games. Watford versus Stoke.
Watford, ain't it? Your boy.
Troy Deeney for his 100th.
1-0.
Arsenal versus Bournemouth.
Arsenal, 4-0.
Man United versus West Brom. Or West Ham.
It's going to be 2-0, Man United.
And Southampton versus Everton.
1-1.
It's going to be a good game, too. Two evenly matched teams.
Yeah. Don't forget, guys, I keep saying this. We do have FIFA 17 for the Xbox One. And we do play on the regular, as they say. If you want to play with us online, have a little competition going on, it's Bloke on the Bench. That is the gamer tag. You can play along with us. We're about to head off. I want to obviously wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. And we will see you again next Sunday. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, gang.
Yeah, Mark, you can say
goodbye.
Thanks.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, take it easy, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.